Well, good evening. I'd like to welcome you to our Wednesday night lesson for July 15th. Excited to be able to be with you to do this lesson. Obviously, this is usually Pastor Randy, but he has gone this week, so he's given me the opportunity to bring you the lesson, and looking forward to getting into God's Word with you this evening. If you could turn in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 1, Philippians 1. We're going to spend just a little bit of time here at the beginning and then at the end of the lesson in this passage. We're going to be looking more in a general sense, kind of more, like I said, of a lesson as opposed to a sermon. But the topic that we're going to look at tonight is discernment. Really looking at, are we developing discernment in our lives as believers? Really, why do we need to do that? You might even be asking yourself, what is discernment? We see a definition of discernment. It essentially means to separate or to make a distinction from something. Now, in your everyday life, you're going to be exercising discernment whether you realize it or not, at least to some degree. You're going to be discerning between if you want to choose this type of food to go out to eat at night or this type of food. If you're like my wife and I, we both have foods that we enjoy. We like a lot of the same ones. But a lot of times when it comes down to making the decision, neither of us like to actually make that decision. But we have to, finally, if we're going to do something, decide. But while you're making that decision process, you're exercising discernment. You're deciding what you would prefer to do or what you don't want to do. You're making that distinction between two or more choices. We need to understand that anytime you have discernment that you're using in your life, there has to be something that you're making a distinction between. So in order to separate and make a distinction, you have to examine, test, and judge the thing in question or whatever that decision is that you are making. So therefore, discernment is the ability to examine something with the end result of separating from or distinguishing the good from the bad. Now, like I alluded to, you can use discernment on very non-big decisions like going out to eat. But as a Christian, we should be developing that discernment in our lives specifically related to areas of our lives that are going to affect us spiritually. They're going to affect us morally, that are going to have an impact on our testimonies and where we stand for the Lord. So we need to decide, are we going to develop that discernment and act on that discernment and live it out in our lives daily? I had you turn to Philippians 1, and it'll make a little more sense, I think, at the end here when we come back to this. But this passage may not be straight up dealing with discernment, but I want us to make sure that we keep our focus where it is supposed to be. So I'm going to go ahead and begin in verse 1, very familiar passage, but I want to give us a context. Verse 1, says, Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus which are at Philippi, with the bishops and the deacons. Grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense until the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. I wanted to start with that, like I said, and we're going to come back to that passage at the conclusion here in a few moments of this lesson, but I want that to be echoing in your minds as we talk about this topic of discernment. How Paul here is, he's writing the church at Philippi, he's just expressing his deep level of love and admiration for them and appreciation for their commitment to the gospel, for their commitment ultimately to Christ and how they were focusing on keeping him as their priority. But he didn't just commend them for it. He challenged them to continue to do that. And I want to make sure that each of us, as with any topic that we ever talk about when we open God's word, that we remind ourselves to make sure Christ is the focus. That whatever we are doing, that we are doing with Christ as our focus. And discernment falls right into that category as well. But where else do we see discernment, and how do we see it defined in the Bible? Psalm 119, 66 says this, "Teach me good judgments and knowledge, for I have believed thy commandments." The psalmist expressing here, I have believed in what you have for me and what your commands are, and he is desiring to be taught good judgment and knowledge. A place that we all need to begin is desiring to gain knowledge and to gain wisdom and to know how to exercise good judgment. I think we would all agree that if we didn't desire to learn, if we didn't have the desire to gain that knowledge, we wouldn't do it. When you think back to the time when you were in school, or maybe you're still taking classes right now, wherever you're at in life, you're going to get a lot more out of it if you put some effort into it. I think back to when I was younger, when I was being homeschooled, my mom was teaching me how many times I could have gotten so much more out of the lesson if I would have been invested in it. My mom was invested. My mom poured years of her life into all of us kids, but rarely were we all completely invested in it. But the attitude we should have is what the psalmist describes here, is teach me this good judgment. Teach me how to use this knowledge. And when we're thinking about discernment, the goal is to use good judgment. When we're faced with a decision, when we're faced with options in our lives as believers, are we going to show discernment? Are we going to show that good judgment? Then we see in Proverbs 16, verse 21, it says, "The wise in heart shall be called prudent, and the sweetness of the lips increaseth learning." This proverb is expressing how if you're showing that wisdom, you're going to show prudence, you're going to show that desire to learn, and to do so immediately. You're going to continue to pursue that wisdom, and how much of a blessing it is when you're increasing in the learning and the knowledge that we should really be increasing in every day of our lives as believers. And then in John 7, verse 24, we see the challenge here. Christ says, "Judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment." One of the things we struggle with, just as humans, but especially as Christians too, is we really get caught up in the appearance of someone, the appearance of something, and we get focused on what that is, and we miss the whole either heart of the issue or what is truly going on there, both for good and for bad. But you see, when we decide to use discernment, when we look at making that distinction, that real deep level of understanding and knowledge, it gives us that deeper level of understanding that goes beyond just appearance. And we are able to then judge, as it says, righteous judgment. And then finally, 1 Thessalonians 5:21 challenges us to prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Prove really means to put to the test, which goes right along with discernment. To not just take things at face value, not just to assume because someone says they are good and that they are a follower of God that they are. Prove, to put to the test, do their words, do their actions back up what they are saying? If we have someone that comes to us and is trying to influence us, I would hope that we as believers are going to put what they say and what they do to the test, that we are not just easily influenced. Now it leads right into the next point here, that we have a need for discernment that is seen all throughout Scripture, but especially here in the New Testament, as there were many, many false teachers that were beginning to creep into the church. You know, we've looked at this before, where in the early times of the church, you really saw this issue, and it obviously continues to today in much more variety of ways. But as soon as Jesus came and he established the church, and you have that truth, almost immediately there were perversions of that truth. And what's appealing about these perversions of truth is that they look so similar to truth, but they're reflections of it, they're twistings of it. And so people were being drawn in by Jesus, they were being drawn in by what is true, But then these false teachers are there, and they're mixing just enough truth with lies to pull these people away. And many times throughout the New Testament, they're referred to as those false teachers, the false prophets. 2 Peter 2:1-3 is one of those passages. It says, "But there were false prophets among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction." Peter is super clear here in saying, just as people a long time ago, generations before us, had false prophets that were claiming to bring messages from God, even so now do we have these false teachers, ones that are claiming to be followers of God, but as soon as you see what they're truly saying, they are actually bringing destruction not only to themselves, but to everyone that is following them. The warnings continue. Jesus speaking in Matthew 7:15, "Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves." We're very familiar with the phrase, coming in sheep's, a wolf in sheep's clothing. And Jesus expressing this here is stating that you're not going to see these wolves just walk into church, just walk into your life, and easily be identifiable as wolves, as ones that are trying to deceive you and destroy you. No, they're going to come in sheep's clothing. They're going to be appealing. They're going to be comforting. They're going to be encouraging. They're going to say the right things. But folks, that is why we have to go so far beyond just that outward appearance, and we have to put to the test what someone is saying. Are they just saying their own thoughts and their own interpretations of God's word, or are they preaching and teaching and learning and growing straight from the Bible? Folks, we need to beware those false prophets, those false teachers. In Acts 20:29-31, there's this challenge, "For I know that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears." There's this desire here to warn. Folks, we should have that same awareness in our minds. Folks, as a pastor, Pastor Randy and I, we are challenged to warn you. And if we see something that is a clear wolf in sheep's clothing, we are going to warn you. But there are so many people, there's so many influences that you can be drawn away of in your life that you have to show that discernment, that you have to be aware of. In this age of technology, all of us have the opportunity to be influenced by someone or something that we see on the internet. We see on YouTube, we see on social media. And folks, so many times we can see a really good quote. We can see something that is, wow, that sounds so good. And we can be drawn into what this person is saying and not be aware that they are leading us astray. They're really pushing us away from Christ, pushing us away from the things of the Bible. And folks, that is why we have to show that discernment and be aware of what is taking place. Colossians 2:8. States, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ." And then 2 Timothy 4:3-4, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables." Folks, Paul was challenging Timothy with this back in the early church. And if he is warning them that there is going to be a time that you may even be seeing at this point where people are going to be drawn away by false teachings and really ultimately drawn away of their own fleshly desires and their lust, really what they want to hear. If that was a reality then, folks, it is so much more a reality now. We realize that we're all susceptible to giving in to our own desires. We are all eager to do what is comfortable for us, that it isn't painful, so yeah, I'm going to give right into it. If we have those two choices where we're going to decide the easy road or the hard road, naturally we want to choose the easy road. But folks, if we begin to exercise that discernment, if we're developing that in our lives and we're desiring to live it out, we're not just going to pick the easy road. We're going to decide, well, what is the right road? What is the right biblical, God-honoring, Christ-centered decision for me to make? Folks, there are so many things that are pulling at our attention. There are so many false teachers, false belief systems out there that are really desiring for us to be swept away. Some of them are apparent. Some of them are very obvious. You can think of the different cults around us. We have a large influx of Mormonism here. We have a lot of Jehovah's Witnesses. We have other false belief systems such as Islam, Buddhism, Hinduism, Judaism. We have all of these belief systems around us with people that are very sincere in what they believe. With people that are willing to give of their lives in order to follow what they believe. Folks, sadly, many times, these other false belief systems that are outside of God's word, that maybe use just a portion of it to fit into their belief system, they put us as Christians to shame with their passion for what they believe. And folks, it is these people, these belief systems, that though they may appear obvious, and you may be like, well, that's wrong, those are the ones that are so easily sweeping people up and distracting them from the truth. And folks, each one of us are susceptible to that as well if we do not keep our focus on Christ and on God's word. Folks, there's a lot of other, even within what we might think generally in Christianity, there are so many different belief systems out there and different denominations and different interpretations of what the gospel is. We have the prosperity gospel where people are like, if you live your life, your best life, God is going to bless you and financially and monetarily. Folks, we understand that if we live for the Lord, He may and He can bless us. But that's not our goal. Our goal is to live for the Lord, to keep our focus on Christ. You know, you may be thinking that there are some different perversions of the gospel, different perversions and belief systems out there that might be confusing, that might trip us up. And then there's also those ones that seem so obviously wrong. You're like, how could anyone believe it? Yet it is amazing, some of the things that I have seen and have read about, that people have, in a way, fallen for. That because they're so eager to just grasp onto whatever is new and whatever out there is appealing to them, they don't take a second to use discernment to see if it's really valid or not. A couple examples that I found quite a while ago in 1977, this article stated that newspapers all across the country recorded the account of Maria Rubio of Lake Arthur, New Mexico, who was frying tortillas in her kitchen when she noticed that one of them seemed to have the likeness of a face etched in the burn marks. She concluded that it was Jesus and even built a crude shrine for the tortilla. Thousands of people visited the shrine of Jesus of the Holy Tortilla and concluded it was indeed a modern-day miracle. Now, folks, I wish I was making that up, but that is something that actually took place. Another example, in 1980, fire department photographer Bud Ward was driving with his wife when he noticed flames in an abandoned chicken coop behind the local pizzeria. He pulled into the parking lot and began taking pictures. When the slides were developed, back when you had to develop slides, Ward's daughter noticed what seemed to be an image of Christ in one of the photos. Word of this discovery spread, and soon people were talking about the pizza Jesus. Several people knelt and prayed under the image projected from the slide, and others asked that the image be projected onto their chest. Hundreds believed it was a true miracle. Now, folks, it can be easy for us to sit back here and hear these two examples and find that extremely ridiculous. But how silly that seems is how silly we are when we do not exercise discernment and we allow ourselves to be swept up and to believe whatever we see posted by someone, whatever we see someone say that seems appealing and that lines up with our preconceptions. It's so easy for us to hear someone say something, and if it lines up in just a small way with where we are already at in thinking, it is easy for us just to go right along with it and not to use an ounce of discernment. And then we are making the same mistake as those people that were worshiping a supposed image of Jesus. Folks, understand that discernment is so important for us as we are going through these times, especially right now. As we're faced with different things in culture that are pulling at us, that culture says are okay for us to do. It's okay for us to participate in this act. It's okay for us to partake in what everyone else is doing because it's popular. Folks, are we using discernment to determine if we need to make a distinction in our lives between something and if we need to separate from it? Folks, are we allowing culture to impact us, or are we impacting culture for Christ? Discernment is vitally necessary in order to make good decisions. This means that we're not relying completely on others' opinions to tell you what is right and wrong. Should we seek the opinion? Should we seek the advice of those around us? Absolutely. God has placed people in our lives that we can and should go to in times where we're trying to make a decision, when we're trying to have discernment. But let me challenge you to make sure you're going to people that are going to ultimately point you to Christ, that are going to point you to the things of God's Word so that you can together exercise that discernment and decide what is right in this situation. What is wrong for us to do is to go to the people that we know are going to say what we want to hear, the ones that are not going to challenge us according to God's Word. Folks, we need to make sure when we're exercising discernment, yes, we can seek advice, but the ultimate advice we should be seeking, the ultimate source of wisdom, is found in God's Word, and it is found on keeping our focus in Christ. If you come back with me to Philippians chapter 1, bringing this back around full circle, I want us to really consider, as we're exercising discernment, where should our focus be? I've alluded to it and said it several times already. But just as the case with every single thing in our lives, the focus of our lives should be on Christ. Remember what Paul said at the beginning of this passage in Philippians? He said in verse 6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And you skip ahead to verse 9, it says, and this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. Why? Verse 10, so that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. How do we, as it says in verse 10, approve those things that are excellent? It is by filling our lives with the things of Christ, with keeping Him as our focus. By having the attitude that we see and we've referenced so many times in 1 Corinthians 10:31, as our goal as believers, to whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Folks, discernment, making that distinction between two choices and then deciding to separate from one and following after what is right and what is good is vitally important for us as believers. Parents, let me challenge you. Use discernment as a testimony for your children. When you're making decisions, don't just do what is easy, what it comes natural, but make that decision based on what is right and based on what you see in God's Word and as you keep your focus on Christ. Folks, we as believers, we should be doing everything we do to reflect Christ in our lives. And all that discernment does is it shows those around us that we are not just following after the ways of the world. We're not just going the easy route. We're making purposeful, calculated decisions according to God and to His Word. Folks, I pray that each one of us desire to develop that discernment in our lives, to make that distinction between what is right and what is wrong, to cling to truth, and to forsake those perversions of truth. Folks, I pray that each one of us, as we have discussed this here quickly in these last few moments, this topic of the sermon, that we would maybe take a minute to consider, are we really living a life that is filled with discernment, or are we just making decisions because it's the convenient thing to do? We as Christians should live a distinct and separated life, and we do so as we keep our focus on Christ. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for these last few moments we've been able to spend looking at various passages in your word. Thank you for the truths that we can reflect on. Lord, I pray that you would help us all to live a life of discernment, to be able to say, as we saw challenged in Psalms, to exercise that good judgment and knowledge. Because if we have believed in you, if we have believed in your commandments, we should desire to grow in our knowledge, to grow in our wisdom. And Lord, help us to have that good judgment, describe ourselves, to help us to keep our focus on you. And that in everything and in every decision that we make, it would be a reflection of you, Lord. Bless us now. Give us that strength to live for you each day of our lives. Pray all these things in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.